Dorothea there with Theodore. Dorothea top of the right circle, reels it in, hands it off. Carlson shoots off the post and home! William Carlson, long post and in for a power play goal!
Live from the Findlay Chevrolet Fox Sports Las Vegas studio and live at lvsportsnetwork.com.
Shoots, kick save, Fleury. Rebound loose, a shot, and no! It goes through Fleury for a goal!
This is the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, your home for access with the team, exclusive player interviews, and breaking news from around the National Hockey League. Here are your hosts, Darren Millard and Ryan Wallace.
Welcome in, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Las Vegas. Ryan Wallace, Chris Chapman live inside the Findlay Chevrolet Fox Sports Las Vegas studios. Findlay Chevrolet on the 215. Home of the... And wouldn't you know it, the Stanley Cup Final is set between the Edmonton Oilers and the Florida Panthers. And Chapman, isn't it awesome that we've got a game to talk about in the next couple of days? Oh, wait, that's right. No hockey until Saturday. No hockey until Saturday. I'm having a hard time understanding this. I'm having a really hard time understanding why we're looking at a five-day break between Game 6 here last night between the Edmonton Oilers and the Dallas Stars and Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Final. Like, listen, I'm not sitting here saying that I want to see these players run into the ground. I'm not even complaining right now at all about the extra day in between Games 2 and 3, Games 4 and 5, 5 and 6, 6 and 7. Like, listen, with the travel that we're going to see in the Stanley Cup Final, getting from Edmonton to Florida and Florida to Edmonton, it's going to take a toll on the players. I fully acknowledge that. I get that. But we haven't really talked much about the schedule yet of the Stanley Cup Final. It starts on June 8th. It starts on June 8th. And just, again, for reference from last season, the Vegas Golden Knights won the Stanley Cup on June 13th. If Florida and Edmonton go seven games, the Stanley Cup will be awarded on June 24th. It's too late. It's too deep. It is too close to the NHL awards, to the draft, to free agency. Like, we talked about it. Chapman, I'm going to bring you in here. I have some things to say about the Edmonton Oilers. I'm not exactly looking forward to it. I feel bad that I even have to go down this road, but I do have to go down this road because, frankly, I was wrong about the Edmonton Oilers. I'm going to list out all the reasons why. We're going to dig into Conn Smythe favorites in hour number two. I've got three from each side. I've fudged the numbers a little bit when it comes to the Florida Panthers because there's just too many people I think are kind of in the mix right now for the Conn Smythe. We're also going to get to one-timers, news and notes from around the National Hockey League in hour number two. And I don't understand why teams don't want to touch the trophy when they win the conference. Like, you can call in or text in and yell at me about that. I don't get it. But I'm a little peeved about the schedule, and I say so only in the context of for the winning team. And Chapman, I'm going to bring you in because we know how much fun it was to be around the Golden Knights after they won the Stanley Cup on June 13th. We dug into it. They won the Stanley Cup on a Tuesday. They had their parade on a Saturday. So if you're keeping track at home, if this one goes seven and one of these teams wins, their cup parade could legitimately be right in the middle of the first round of the draft. How cheated would you feel if you were a fan? How cheated would you feel if you were a part of that front office, whether it's the Edmonton Oilers or the Florida Panthers, if you can't enjoy the parade because you have work to do? That's crazy to me. So I want to know from you, is the Stanley Cup Final, if it goes the distance, is it too late in the season? Is it too late in the calendar to award a Stanley Cup on June 24th? And if it does go seven and the team that wins has to have some of their higher ups skip out on the parade because they've got to go to the draft? Like, how pissed off would you be if you were in that situation, Chapman?
Well, it's stupid. Like, the whole idea, first of all, I'm going to look at this from the player's perspective. If you were the Florida Panthers, you have now gone to the Stanley Cup two consecutive seasons.
Mm-hmm.
That means your off season in preparation for next season is shortened to begin with. Now you're pushing it back 11 days potentially after what it ended last season. If I'm a betting man, I am not betting the Florida Panthers to have an exceptional 24-25 season, assuming this goes the distance. From the player's perspective, like especially if they win, forget it. The recovery, we saw it with the Golden Knights. These guys, yeah, they came out and played well, but they hit a wall, and it was very hard for them to continue to play at an elite level because of that wall. It's too late. You know, hockey to me is a winter sport. It's going to be 110 in Vegas on Thursday. We are now into almost July when we're awarding the Stanley Cup. A week away and it's July. That's not the way it should be done. I don't know if you need to start the regular season earlier. Maybe start it late September.
That was the plan.
You know, like
the plan, right? Coming out of COVID, the plan was to get back to the regular schedule of the National Hockey League.
Yeah.
And then what happened? Well, what happened was ESPN and Turner came on, and now you've got a dual situation, a dual setup when it comes to the broadcast nationally of the National Hockey League. And it seems that the later start that we have seen over the last season or so, that first week, 10 days into October, that's about when you expect to start. The preseason starts around the end of September, where we were going middle of September to early September and you know, dropping the puck in the first week of October. And we could count on a Stanley Cup final being awarded, or a Stanley Cup championship being awarded, a final ending sometime in the middle of June. Like, the latest you would go would be June 15th.
You know,
we're not even going to be into the series.
I know, because it popped up on like a photos memory for me. When the Golden Knights played in the Stanley Cup in that first season, it started Memorial Day. The first game was Memorial Day. And I remember because there were the fighter jets, and you had that proud to be, whatever the singer's name is who does "I'm Proud to Be an American." He was at the game singing that song. Lee Greenwood, is that? I think that's his name. And like, you don't need to go until the end of June. I'm sorry. It's, first of all, I've been out of hockey mode for about 6 weeks, and I know that I'm not the reason the NHL doesn't care about me. But how many fans in markets that are not playing for the Stanley Cup, their kids are out of school, maybe they're going on vacation, you know, maybe you've been, like, my son's been out of school for over 2 weeks already. Like, there's families that are, you know, I got family in Florida. They're done with school the end of May. Maybe they're on vacation. Great, the Panthers made the Stanley Cup final. Well, that's great, because I'm going to be in France, or I'm going to be in Mexico, or I'm going to be on a cruise. Like, you can't go too far into the summer, and I will say summer because summer starts on June 21st. We are now awarding potentially the Stanley Cup in the summer.
It should be done
no later than the first week or second week of June. Like this.
I mean, realistically, Chapman,
it should be done the end of May.
If you could set it, I agree 100%. I agree. I think the NHL season should go from September to May. Period. Full stop. Like, the idea that you are playing in some of these markets in the Stanley Cup final, the pinnacle of this sport, And, you know, in Vegas, the ice conditions are fantastic. There's not as much humidity. But what do you think, like realistically, what do you think the ice conditions are going to be like in Sunrise?
It's going to be choppy, probably sloppy.
The humidity, the heat, all of it. Like, it is not conducive to allowing these two teams, the Edmonton Oilers and the Florida Panthers, to display what they can do in the game's greatest stage. Now, having said that, I know that we're complaining about it from our point of view. I don't like this big of a break for either team. I certainly don't like it for the Edmonton Oilers, because the Oilers, they've found something. And specifically, they've found something between the pipes. Stuart Skinner was phenomenal to end that series against the Dallas Stars. And now, in the middle of a heater, the heater of all heaters of Stuart Skinner's life, he's going to have to wait a week before he gets into a game again.
Yeah, guess what, buddy?
That's ridiculous.
You're taking 6 days off. Like, at least in Bobrovsky's case, he went through it last year, and he wasn't terrible in game one.
Well, to be fair, when it comes to Sergei Bobrovsky, the more rest he can get,
the better. Yeah.
Because he's older. His body is going to break down naturally over the course of a playoff series, over the course of a playoff run. This rest helps Sergei Bobrovsky. My concern, if you're an Edmonton Oilers fan, and I promise you I'm going to tell you why I was wrong about Edmonton in a moment. My concern, if you're an Oilers fan, is that we know Stuart Skinner can be streaky. We know that he can catch lightning in a bottle, and he can absolutely be dominant at times. And then it could go away. There's no reason for it. There's no understanding for it. It just goes. And so with Stuart Skinner in the middle of an absolute brilliant set of performances to close out the Dallas Stars, if I'm the Oilers, I want game one to start on Wednesday. I want Stuart Skinner back in the crease in a game as quickly as possible, because I don't want to lose whatever he's found over the last couple of games.
Yeah, and obviously the travel is certainly going to come into play. But when they set the schedule, they didn't know it was going to be the most amount of distance between two teams in a Stanley Cup final ever. Like, it could have been New York and Dallas. You know, I mean, that's not that far. It's like a 2.5-3 hour flight. No big deal.
Sure.
But yeah, when they set the schedule, they didn't know that. And I understand the travel, and, you know, you got to allow time for the media to get, you know, because the media doesn't fly on the team charter. They're flying Spirit or Frontier or Air Canada or Southwest or whatever other option they have to get between Edmonton and South Florida, which, by the way, In the case of, like, had we been covering this series, like, we're probably making two or three connections to get there anyway. So I understand that you build in an extra day for travel, but, like, I can't get on board with it. The long, and even if you're like, well, you know, the series may have gone seven games. Both games went six games, so you're talking an extra day in each game or in each series. Yeah. So, like, I don't see the let's wait till Saturday. Like, maybe Thursday you start it, maybe Friday at the latest, but Saturday, I mean, not only that, but people may lose interest. You know, you don't exactly have the most compelling television markets.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a long time to wait. And listen, like, hockey fans, they'll tune in for Connor McDavid in the Stanley Cup final. But it's not the same as it would have been if it was Edmonton and the Rangers.
Well, and
it just isn't.
That's
like,
it.
And that's no disrespect to the Florida Panthers, but they are not the sexy pick when it comes to garnering viewership in America. They're just not.
And that poses the question. You and I are in you know, we are in hockey. Like, we are hockey people. We're around the sport, you know, basically 10 months out of the season and or 10 months out of the year. But, like, if you're trying to connect to that guy in, I don't know, Albuquerque, who doesn't really watch a ton of hockey, and maybe he watched last night's game, saying, hey, you know what, this is a pretty good game. It's a Sunday night. It beats Wide World of Disney or whatever else is on Sunday night, House Hunters or whatever else you're flipping through the TV and you come across. Now you're going to make that guy who's a casual sports fan, who may have been drawn in by that game last night or two nights ago. Now he's like, well, when is the game on? Saturday? Oh, I'm not going to wait. I'm not going to watch that, you know? Like,
I'll forget by the time it rolls around.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if I didn't know, obviously, what I know, I wouldn't have known that we had to wait 6 days between games.
Sure. And that's the biggest issue that I have with it. I mean, there's multiple, but the fact of the matter is you're waiting so long to start the Stanley Cup final that you could have had some people that tuned in to that game last night and they saw Connor McDavid with a brilliant performance, an amazing goal, one that I still don't fully understand how he
it went
scored.
I don't know.
Like, oh, great. Yeah, okay, that's cool. They just got a trophy that they wouldn't touch. Like, that's weird, but all right, wins the next game. They're on to the final round, wins the next game. A week away? Are we for real here?
Yeah, you've
like,
got
to
the...
me, it doesn't make any sense. It just doesn't.
Well, you've got the biggest superstar in the game. And, you know, the average fan doesn't look at him the same way people like you and I and maybe the fans here in Vegas look at him. Like, they don't look at him as this whiny guy who's pissy all the time. They look at a guy who's a star player. And they want to see more of that star player. Like, I mean, I hate to say it, but I turned on the TV yesterday and more people are talking about Caitlin Clark than they're talking about the NHL. Like ESPN this morning, Stephen A. Smith, they spent 40 minutes talking about Caitlin Clark without a commercial break. I didn't even see them mention the Stanley Cup. And it's on their network.
Well, to be fair, Chapman, the Edmonton Oilers didn't play a particularly good game last night. Like, Connor had the moment, and Stuart Skinner was brilliant. But there's no reason that I can, like, really grasp or understand as to why the Dallas Stars could not find another goal in that game. The chances were there. They generated. They had the puck all night long. Like, it wasn't a situation where Connor went absolutely wild and dominated the game. He had a great moment on the power play to score the goal. He had a great moment on the other power play to set up Zach Hyman. And that's really all the Edmonton Oilers had in the entire game that was offensive.
Well, that was really all. That was pretty much all they needed after game four. Like, after they went down 2-0 in game four.
Right.
Like,
right.
It's not like they played out of this world. It's just Dallas, well, they weren't very good.
Okay, so that brings me to, man, I hate doing this. I don't like to admit that I'm wrong.
I know.
Like, listen, and you were wrong about them too, and
oh,
that's
yeah,
fine.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to come on here and you know, belabor the point, but I need to come clean about this. I was wrong about the Edmonton Oilers. I was wrong about the Edmonton Oilers. Listen, I imagined Edmonton would beat LA. I wasn't looking at that series as a five-game series, not by any stretch. I thought LA would at least put up a little bit more of a fight, but they were awful. And the Edmonton Oilers took full advantage, and they were great against Los Angeles. They scored a ton of goals, and it wasn't particularly close. Now, having said all that, I didn't give Vancouver a shot against the Edmonton Oilers in the second round. I felt like it was almost a bye for Edmonton to get to a conference final. This is what good teams do. You take care of a team in the first round, you get an advantageous matchup in the second round, and you waltz your way to a conference final. That wasn't the case for Edmonton. They had me worried in the second round against Vancouver because Edmonton controlled play. They were pretty good in most facets of the game, but Stuart Skinner absolutely imploded to the point where Chris Knobloch had to go to Calvin Pickard for not just one game, but two. And then you bring Stuart Skinner back into the fold. You have no idea what you're going to get out of Stuart Skinner to close that series out. And it turns out that he's exceptional. It turns out that he gets a lot of run support in game number six, a 5-1 win for the Edmonton Oilers. But then Stuart Skinner, solid in game seven. You know, he's perfect in closeout games. Did you know that? He's 4-0 in his career in closeout games, Stuart Skinner.
I did not know
now,
that.
Yeah, after last night. So this brings me to the Edmonton Oilers going into the conference final. I looked at the Dallas Stars. I thought they were the deeper team up front. They are on paper, but not in actuality. I looked at the Dallas Stars. I thought defensively they were going to be fine. And it's not like Dallas really broke down very much. It's just Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins and Evan Bouchard. Everybody for the Edmonton Oilers that plays a role on the special teams, they found a way. We talked about it going into the series. Where do the Oilers have an absolute advantage over the Dallas Stars? We didn't think it was a net, but it turns out when all's said and done, when we go through these six games, when we parse through this series, the records will state Stuart Skinner was better than Jake Oettinger. No one saw that coming. I certainly didn't see that coming. So for Stuart Skinner, I cannot say any longer that he can't win a big game. I can't say that Stuart Skinner is incapable of bringing his team to a Stanley Cup final. I can't say that Stuart Skinner is just not the type of goaltender that I believe can win in this league, because what did he do? He won. And he was excellent in doing it. And so from that perspective, I was wrong. Turns out the Edmonton Oilers didn't have an issue in goal in that series. Credit to them. Credit to Stuart Skinner. Hold your head up. Well done. But here's where it gets interesting. I didn't believe the Edmonton Oilers would be able to figure out their power play as the series wore on. If you remember, Chapman, when we were diving deep into this series, I said the Oilers will get their power play goals early on, and then Dallas will make their adjustments, and the Oilers are going to be hard-pressed to find power play goals in the late stages of the series. It was the exact opposite. It's as if Dallas had Edmonton figured out on the man advantage for the first four games of the series. And lo and behold, through four games, the Dallas Stars were the better team. The Dallas Stars, it was a tied series, but you could have made the argument that they hit a post in that overtime in game one. If that goes in, there's up 3-1. There's all these things, all this revisionist history. But the fact of the matter is, when it mattered the most, the Oilers' power play, their bread and butter, it came through. They scored four power play goals over the final two games of this series. The Dallas Stars, 0-for on the power play. And not just 0-for on the power play, their power play actively lost them momentum. We're going to dig into that in one-timers in hour number two, but that's a problem for Pete DeBoer. It's a problem for the Dallas Stars, and it is a big reason why we talk about Pete DeBoer playing in five of the last six conference finals, but zero of the last six Stanley Cup finals. So with all that being said, I didn't believe the Edmonton Oilers could continue to shut it down on the penalty kill. And they did. I didn't believe that they'd be able to have their power play impact the game in the way that it did in the late stages of the series, and it did. And here's the biggest one of all. I did not believe for a second, not one single second, that the Edmonton Oilers' depth would be better than the Dallas Stars' depth. And it was. Ryan McLeod scored a goal. Philip Broberg scored a goal. Like, those are players you don't anticipate lighting the lamp for the Edmonton Oilers, and yet they did. Matthias Janmark, a shorthanded goal. The depth of the Oilers came through. They made plays. They were smart with their decision-making. I was wrong about the Edmonton Oilers. The loss 2 years ago in the conference final to the eventual Stanley Cup champion Colorado Avalanche, the loss last season in the second round to the eventual Stanley Cup champion Vegas Golden Knights, they have imprinted on this Edmonton Oilers team. They are more resilient than they've ever been in the Connor McDavid era. They believe more than they ever have in the Connor McDavid era, and this is a different team. I didn't believe it, and now I've seen it. I was wrong about the Edmonton Oilers.
Well, it's not just you. I think a lot of people are eating a plate of crow today, myself included, because I remember specifically saying after game one, oh, Dallas is fine. That's the best game one that they've played in the postseason. They'll make adjustments. They'll be better. I gave myself an out, though. And my out was if Stuart Skinner outplayed Jake Oettinger, the Dallas Stars would be in big trouble. Dallas Stars are home today in large part because Stuart Skinner outplayed Jake Oettinger. There was no signature game by Jake Oettinger in this playoffs. Mm-mm. Not one. He didn't win them the series against the Golden Knights. He didn't lose them the series. He didn't win them the series against the Colorado Avalanche. And he's a big part of the reason why their season ended last night in Edmonton. He wasn't good enough in the postseason. The Dallas power play, as you mentioned, non-existent. But I've got to give credit to the Edmonton Oilers. Like, everyone knows that Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid are the engines that drive that team. But, Ryan, they are looking a lot more like a team than I think they ever have in the McDavid tenure in Edmonton, because they're getting contributions, and you mentioned some of the guys who stepped up for them, but they look like a team. We joke about Cody Ceci and how he's probably not the best defenseman, yet here he is on the power, the PK that's the best PK in the playoffs. We kind of laugh about how much Darnell Nurse gets paid, and maybe he's overpaid. Darnell Nurse was spectacular on Friday night in that Game 5 win against Dallas Stars. We joke about some of the other guys. Oh, this guy, that guy, they don't have any depth. I don't like their bottom six, whatever. They were the better team. Yes, they have better star power, but after those two guys, they were still the better team. Dallas didn't get a whole lot from anybody in this series. Like, Marchman had a big goal or two, but other than that, like, you're looking at them at the Dallas Stars and you're like, how did this happen again? How did it happen to them 2 years in a row? Last year, they were not at the Golden Knights level. Like, that's why they went home. They were the better team on paper than the Edmonton Oilers. But the Oilers were the better team where it mattered the most. And, you know, I think there's a lot of people across the hockey world today who are saying the same exact things you and I are saying. And that is that the Edmonton Oilers, they found a way. They found a way. And credit to Chris Knobloch, because I don't think we knew a whole lot, and maybe the moment would be too big for this guy in his first playoffs. I think there's a reason why they've been the best team in the league since he took over. And there's a reason why they're playing it for a Stanley Cup for the first time in 18 years. And he's a big part of it. He's a big part of the reason why.
Yeah, you're right on the money. It's been a meteoric rise for Chris Knobloch, for the Edmonton Oilers, who, let's not forget where they were at the beginning of October and early November. This is a team that a lot of people wondered if it would be too hard of a road to get back to the playoffs, let alone being four wins away from a Stanley Cup. And that is what the Edmonton Oilers have done, from one of the worst teams in the league at the beginning of the year under Jay Woodcroft to four wins away from the Stanley Cup championship. We'll take a break, come back with superstitions and why I hate them on the VGK Insider Show. You already know you're going to have to explain that, right?
I don't know. I was scrolling through my music list and
What was that? That
was Cake, No Phone, which is...
But don't you feel like that went on a little long?
Nah, now you're starting to sound like Darren.
No, buddy. There were, what was it, three rings?
Yeah, three rings, yeah.
before the music started? How long did those three rings take?
I don't know. I mean, three ring circus. Why not?
No, I know. That was too long.
So it was a 54-second rejoin. That includes the highlight and the stinger at the end.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's a lot of time for a rejoin.
Well, it was.
It's nearly a minute.
It was a nice
for a rejoin.
Well, it was a good goal, so it needed a, its proper rejoin. Long.
Well, just like lean into the sound of the goal then. Or another highlight explaining what Connor McDavid did. Like, it confused me. I thought there was technical difficulties.
Yeah, the phone was ringing, right? It's the first time.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
First time in weeks the phone has worked, right?
Yeah, well, no Mallard here, I feel like we're probably going to lean into opening the phones a little bit later on.
Right.
We have a lot of time to really dig into the Stanley Cup Final because, as we mentioned, Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Final doesn't actually start until Saturday, so we are going to do a deep, 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 deep dive into the Florida Panthers, the Edmonton Oilers, and on Friday, during media day for the Stanley Cup Final.
Speaking of Mallard, we just got a text.
Oh, yeah? What did he say?
He says he's with you.
Was too long?
The three rings, too long. Thanks, Ryan.
It was crazy. It was way too long.
No, I don't.
Listen, usually it's Mallard that's going to get on you, and that's fine.
Yeah, right.
But
oh, that's a bit,
more
right?
Often than not, it's not a bit. I'm telling, like, right now, I can tell you, I can assure you right now in this moment, it's not a bit.
No, not with you. No.
Because that was too long for me. It was a beat or seven too long, Chapman. We just got to tighten it up a little bit.
Yeah, you're generally on my side when it comes to this, but yeah, it's...
Usually.
Yeah.
Okay, so text line 702-876-1340, 702-876-1340. Text line's always open. Everyone knows, if you've listened to this program, that I don't like superstitions. I think jinxes are not real. I don't believe that if I tweet out the word shutout during the third period of a game, that is going to ultimately determine whether or not that goaltender gets a shutout. I believe that what I do has no bearing whatsoever on the game. I believe that what we all do collectively as fans has no bearing on the outcome of a game. Maybe I'm jaded. Maybe I've you know, been in this business long enough now to like not have that fandom ingrained in my blood anymore. Like, am I different from when I was younger and a fan of a particular team? Yes, but when you go through a process like that, you just realize we're insignificant in all of this. Like, yeah, we go to the games, we have fun, we bring energy, all that. But in the grand scheme, when the puck is dropped and it's just the players on the ice, jinxes aren't real and superstitions don't matter. And I'm going to explain why I believe that. So last year, when the Florida Panthers won the Eastern Conference, they picked up and touched the Prince of Wales trophy. So certainly that explains why they lost to the Vegas Golden Knights in five games in the Stanley Cup Final. It wasn't because Florida was dealing with injuries. It wasn't because the Golden Knights were a better team. It was because the Golden Knights didn't touch the Clarence Campbell Bowl, and it's because the Florida Panthers touched the Prince of Wales trophy. Now, you fast forward to this weekend, and Florida, at the direction of Paul Maurice, I want this to be very clear, Paul Maurice intercepted Alexander Barkov and told him, do not touch that trophy this year, and Barkov didn't do it. The Florida Panthers didn't touch the trophy. They did not celebrate the trophy, the accomplishment that they had just won, in the way that any other person would celebrate a championship of any kind. And like, listen, I get it. It's not the big one. It's not the Stanley Cup. It's not the one that we want to win. But you know what? You won something. You accomplished something. Lean into it. Have a little bit of fun. But the Florida Panthers didn't do it. They didn't touch the cup, or they didn't touch the Prince of Wales trophy. So they're obviously going to win the Stanley Cup this year. However, there's a little bit of a wrinkle in that superstition, because the Edmonton Oilers, who won the Western Conference, didn't touch the Clarence Campbell Bowl. So both teams believe in this superstition, and the degrees to which they believe it are not for me to decide, but both teams believe wholeheartedly that they're not touching the trophy that they don't want to win so that they can touch the trophy they do want to win, being the Stanley Cup. Well, that superstition is going to come true for one team, and it's going to be an abject failure for the other team. And that, in essence, is why superstitions aren't real. They don't matter. It's a farce. It is a lie. Because for whichever team wins the Stanley Cup, it is a self-fulfilling prophecy. We didn't want to touch that trophy because we wanted to save it up for the Stanley Cup. And the losing team is going to have to sit there and say, well, if we get back there, maybe we'll celebrate the accomplishment. Maybe we'll feel good about it. Maybe we'll try something different this year. I just don't understand why you don't want to celebrate a championship. It's not the Stanley Cup championship. I get it. But it's the Western Conference championship. It's the Eastern Conference championship. If you're going to win something, celebrate it, enjoy it, be happy about it. And here's the biggest thing for me that I just don't quite understand. If you don't want those trophies, why are you wearing the championship gear that's associated with those trophies? If you don't want to touch the Clarence Campbell Bowl that signifies you are the champion of the Western Conference, why are you wearing a Western Conference championship hat on the ice in the picture? I just don't get it. It just doesn't make sense to me. Chapman, make it make sense to me.
Well, I'll start by saying, as far as wearing the championship gear, it's probably because they're contractually obligated by Fanatics or whoever supplies the championship gear. It's the same reason why you see guys wearing hats and things after every game during walk-off interviews or whatever. They probably have something in their contract that states they have to do this, and I'm just guessing in that regard. But the whole trophy thing, it's odd to me, and I'm a superstitious guy. I was superstitious when I played sports growing up. But you won something and mm-hmm. you accomplished something, and to pretend like it's not a big deal. I mean, it is a big deal. You're the Eastern Conference champion. You're the Western Conference champion. And like you mentioned, neither team picked it up. So the superstition is at best going to go 50-50, right? It's only hitting for 50%. So someone didn't touch the trophy, and they're not going to touch the Stanley Cup trophy. So why not just embrace that moment, celebrate it? I like, the fact that the Golden Knights, that first year they won it, they were like, you know what, screw this. They didn't touch it last year. But that first year, they were like, yep, we're all about this. We accomplished something. Nobody thought we were going to be here. Screw this. We're doing it. I'm okay with that.
Now, do you believe that the Golden Knights won the Stanley Cup last year because they didn't touch the Clarence
Campbell Bowl? No, they won the Stanley Cup because they were better than the Florida Panthers. The same reason why they lost the Stanley Cup that first year, because the Capitals were just better.
Right.
It had nothing to do with touching a trophy or lifting, Derek England, grabbing it. It had nothing to do with that.
I just maybe it's just my hang up on this in particular, because you have accomplished something. Like, listen, I'm not sitting here and saying that hockey should be like baseball. Well, maybe for the Toronto Maple Leafs, like, you went around, you should celebrate and pop champagne and do all that stuff. But for any other team, like, I'm not sitting here saying that it should be like baseball. I'm not sitting here and saying that, if you win a round, you should celebrate as if you've won the league championship. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is, when you have gone three rounds deep, it's a grind. It's a grind even from our perspective, let alone what it is like for the players, for the coaches, for management. Like, enjoy the moment, right? Like, we talk about these players all the time and how in the moment they can be. You can recalibrate tomorrow, right? Like you can compartmentalize what you need to do tomorrow, and Lord knows there's going to be enough time to get ready for game one of the Stanley Cup final. You can celebrate, you can enjoy the moment, you can relish in the accomplishment, understanding that it's not your ultimate goal, it's not your end goal, but it's one step closer and a tangible accomplishment has been achieved. You should celebrate that. I think the league needs to celebrate that more.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I'm just like the whole thing to me, it's always like hockey's got some really strange, I think, timeless traditions. Like, and then there's some really cool traditions. Like, I love the handshake line after a series. And I love it even more when it's mic'd up and you can hear players or coaches talking to each other during, because you tried to kill that other team. Like, you went out there and every shift you tried to hurt someone on the other team. But when that series is over, there's the respect factor. Like, you know what? We may not like you, but we respect you for winning this series or for knocking us out of the playoffs. And I like that tradition. The tradition of not touching the trophy after you win a conference, to me, that's just dumb. Like, and people are saying, "Oh, you're a non-traditionalist." Well, maybe so. Maybe in some regards I am, and that's one. And like, enjoy it, embrace the moment, have fun. The game is fun. Have fun. Go out there, right? Just enjoy it. I mean, someone had to pick it up and bring it back to wherever it's going.
Yeah, I will say this. To each their own in this scenario. For me, if I ever won anything on par with a conference championship, I'm celebrating all day long. I'm touching that trophy. I'm putting my hands on that trophy because that's the only guarantee you have out of this season, right? The only guarantee that the Florida Panthers have right now, the only guarantee that the Edmonton Oilers have right now is that they have won their conference. There is something worth celebrating in that. You don't want to touch the trophy, that's fine. I hope you celebrate. And Paul Maurice, he's been great on the mic all playoffs long. He acknowledged it. He said flat out, it doesn't mean anything. Touching the trophy, not touching the trophy, doesn't mean anything. We all have our little superstitions. If that's you, by all means, do your thing. I don't understand them. I don't get them. It doesn't make sense to me. Chapman, you've tried to make it make sense to me, and that's fine. But the fact of the matter is, celebrate the accomplishments that you have made in the moment while still keeping your eye on the big prize. That's what I want to see a little bit more of in this league, because if it was more fun, I think more people would watch hockey. That's just kind of where my baseline, my bottom line is. I think if everyone had a little bit more fun, if there was a little tinge of baseball when it comes to a conference championship, I think hockey would be more fun for other people. Take a break. Come back with more on the VGK Insider Show. It's the VGK Insider Show. Ryan Wallace, Chris Chapman with you. The Florida Panthers, slight favorite early on as we get closer and closer to the Stanley Cup Final. Chapman, you agree with the Florida Panthers being the favorite in this series?
Yeah, I think they should be.
Mm-hmm.
I think
reason why?
Well, I think you look at them as a more complete team. I think they've got the better goalie. Coaching, they certainly have an advantage in experience. I don't necessarily know, you know, like the how good of a coach Chris Knobloch is certainly looking like he's going to be a really good coach in this league. But Paul Maurice has the edge in terms of experience. So I think for those reasons, yeah, the Panthers are probably best as the favorite, but I think it's going to be, you know, very close.
We're going to dive in all week long to Florida and Edmonton, because while it's not as sexy as Edmonton, New York, or New York, LA, or pick any major market in the United States and insert those teams, and it would be massive from a ratings perspective. You have the greatest player of his generation in Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, generational talent. You've got Matthew Tkachuk, he can mix it up. Sam Bennett can mix it up. Sam Reinhart scored 57 goals this year. Like, there's star power on both sides. this is a Stanley Cup final. If you're a hockey fan, you should be excited about, and we'll dive into it all week long. Hour number two, it's coming up next on the VGK Insider Show.